Will you pray with me, please? Creator God, we acknowledge your presence is already here among us this morning, and we pray that in this hour of worship that we will be open to the movement of your Spirit, that we would listen with the eyes of our heart for the words that you have for us, that through our songs and through our prayers and through the words that are spoken, through our fellowship together, that we may truly find communion with you. Lord, as the elements have been prepared for the Lord's Supper, we thank you for its significance. We thank you for this symbol that we observe this morning as we remember our salvation through the cross of Calvary and through the resurrection. We ask that you would be with us during the special time of worship this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There is a concept which permeates the pages of Holy Scripture, which impacts each and every one of us today who claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior, who claim to be members of the church. That is the concept of covenant. More than just a contract, more than just any agreement, more like, as one minister has described it, a holy promise. So here's some scriptures today about this covenant that we talk about as we look at the past and anticipate the future and live in the present and gather around a covenant table. Now, therefore, God says in Exodus chapter 19 to the Hebrews, who have just been brought by God out of the land of Egypt, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possessions out of all the peoples of the earth, a covenant people. Joshua chapter 24, which was a covenant renewal ceremony in the context of a meal. We have a covenant renewal this morning. Joshua says in those famous verses, verse 14, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness," talking to the church, people that are gathered. "Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river." That was the Euphrates River from which God had called Abraham long, long ago. "And in Egypt," he's talking about being led out of Egyptian slavery under the leadership of Moses. "Put away all of that other stuff and focus on me and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Jeremiah 31 says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with you, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. No, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts." Not just a contract, not just any agreement, but a solemn, holy promise. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, my solemn promise to you that I will forgive you of your sins." Every person here this morning has to make a choice about his or her covenant with God. Some people may choose to leave God out of their lives. Atheistic, agnostic, they still make a choice. Some people might choose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They make a choice. Some along the way tend to emphasize the saving part. They don't get into the serving part. They like the Lord as Savior. Kind of tough to follow Him as Lord. They make a choice. When you become a member of a church, you have a covenant, a solemn promise with the other members of the church. Some people take the promise seriously. Some do not. Make a choice. So how's your covenant this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ? How's your covenant with your church? As you focus for just a few moments on choices concerning your covenant, a few dynamics for us to consider. Remember the past, anticipate the future, and utilize the present. Remember the past. That's what Joshua was doing when he gathered all of those Hebrews around that ancient shrine of Shechem for that worship service, probably followed by a meal. And he said, lest you forget, because it's so easy to start taking blessings for granted, every now and then set aside some time to look back and remember. And so Joshua 24, and read it sometimes when you will take the time to read the whole chapter, is really a timeline of God's relationship with His people. And that timeline will start out with Abraham, and then it'll talk about Canaan and the promise of that land, and then how they had to go into Egyptian slavery, and then it'll talk about the deliverance at the Red Sea and the wilderness wanderings, and finally the land of promise timeline. Jim Humphrey's timeline with the Lord Jesus Christ officially started at age 8 or 9, but really started before then. Even before Miss Hudson, when Jim can remember at age 3, there were other people in the nursery who cared for Jim Humphrey, and his timeline started when his mom and dad brought him to church. And he has shared with you some of his timeline. We've remembered the past this morning. When's your timeline start? Has it ever started at all? Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they need to establish a starting point or a timeline. For me, officially, 1962, age 9, Midway Baptist Church, accepted Christ or was baptized. How's your timeline? In the next little bit, we're going to be asking our church to remember our timeline. To remember the past. And I won't go over all of those dates with you this morning, though we'll talk about them in days to come, leading up to September 25th when we have that congregational meeting. But there were some significant dates. 1875, the church was established. 1906, the new sanctuary over here on Rhodes Avenue, this area was built. 1907, the sanctuary burnt down. 1908, it was already rebuilt. Telling you that when you look at our past, one of the characteristics of this church is a church which is very resilient. Always been easy? No. Always done the right thing? No. Always resilient to be the people that God is calling us to be in downtown Lexington for the cause of Jesus Christ? Yes. Go to the 1940s, and in the parsonage that was owned by the church at that time, in the basement, the Baptist Student Union of the University of Kentucky was organized and established. 1940s. College students. Important part of Calvary's ministry, past, present, I think future. Late 1950s, early 1960s, most downtown churches are leaving downtown. Most businesses are starting to leave downtown. It's suburb time. And lots of churches moved to the suburbs, and God bless them, and they've done wonderful work. It's where the people live. There was more parking. There was faster growth. But God said to a group of people called Calvary Baptist, I want you to stay down here. But God, we're not going to grow as fast. I'm not asking you to grow as fast. But God, we might, I'm not asking you that. I want you to stay down here. The minister of college students. And the business community, which unbeknownst to our forebears at that time, would make a comeback and there would be more downtown ministry in the future. I believe I'd like you to stay down here, Calvary, and build a recreation outreach center and get really direct and personal with homeless people and find out what it's like not to have anything and minister to the poorest of the poor. In 1977, Calvary, because we believed in using our minds that God gave us, did a long study of what the Bible really says about women in ministry, what Baptist tradition says about women in ministry. And as a result of that, in 1977, after a year-long study, Calvary Baptist Church, looking to God for inspiration, started ordaining females as deacons. Not because they were women, but because they were servants. And so when people ask me, what kind of deacons do you have at Calvary? I say servants. Some are male, some are female, some are married, some are single. Servants. And so I have a sneaking hunch that as we look back on our history and how God has worked, that everybody having a place, male, female, whatever, is going to play an important role in who we continue to be in the future. Pretty cool, I think. Well, we'll look at some other timeline dates, like 2005 when Mission Lexington was established. And we have a medical clinic for the working poor and a dental clinic for those who are extremely poor. And when we continue to minister to those who are the least of these, look back and remember. But Joshua said, it's more than that. I want you to look ahead. I want you to anticipate the future. Because, see, the Israelites had a pretty bright future. God had promised them a land. Do you remember that promise? And later had promised that there would always be someone from the house of David on the throne, which turned out not to be a physical, political throne, but a spiritual throne. And if you've checked it out in Matthew and Luke, Jesus was an heir of David's line. We sang about our future this morning. Guys, we're promise-bound people, which ought to give us a lot of courage to do what's ever necessary in the present, because what's really important has already been determined. You know, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, if we're trying to follow Him, Jesus has said, I've gone to prepare a place before you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. You've got heaven. So don't worry so much about right now except to do what I call you to do. Based on your past and based on your future, here's what I want you to do right now. And all of a sudden, the old excuse, we don't have enough money, well, that's kind of an excuse. Or we don't have enough time, or we've never done it quite that way before. Man, we're promised land-bound people. Anticipate the future. It's going to be great. Remember, Robert Dale said that churches must always open themselves up to revitalization. Churches must always dream again. To stand still is to die. No time to stand still, Joshua said. Lots of kingdom work still to be done, Jesus said. Remember the past. Anticipate the future. And finally, actualize and utilize the present. Long before I became your pastor in 1991, and my lands, how fast 20 years will go, I still had some connections to Calvary Baptist Church. I'd never really been in Calvary Baptist Church all that much. One of my friends, Brack Marquette, was married here. I was in the wedding. Little did I know I would be in a lot of weddings at Calvary Baptist Church. I knew a few people like Charlie and Martha Gaines because their daughter, Betty Gail Williams, was in my church down in Danville, but I didn't know a lot of people. Knew Dan Cooper, your pastor. He was very, very kind and gracious to me and helped me learn how to try to pastor a church that was bigger than the one that I grew up in. But when I was down in Danville, we hosted a seminar on death and dying. Kind of sounds morbid. It really wasn't. But how do you cope with grief? How do we talk about that, we who are Promised Land bound people? And so we had invited various folks to come to our church fellowship hall to help us with this grief process. And one of those people was Reverend Bill Bailey, who was the chaplain of Central Baptist Hospital in Lexington. I did not know until I got here years later that he was a member of Calvary Baptist Church. I didn't know it. I knew he was the chaplain of Central Baptist and that he had a gift of helping people work through the grief process. So, Bill, would you come on down and help us as we deal with this difficult issue? And he did. He was making a presentation in our church fellowship hall to about 150 to 200 people, and he was talking specifically, I recall, about terminally ill patients. And as he was talking about how we in the church are to minister to terminally ill patients, all of a sudden, he stopped talking. And he looked deep within himself, and I think deep within each and every one of us in that congregation. And he said and spoke a line that I will never forget. He said, "You know, folks, all of us are terminal. All of us are terminal." Two weeks later, after that seminar at our church, picked up the Lexington Herald Leader and read the story where Bill Bailey, robust, healthy, Christian chaplain at Central Baptist Hospital, had died because of a blood clot. He had entered into Central Baptist for what we would consider relatively minor surgery. Was back in his room, surgery was successful, got up to use the restroom, blood clot. He's dead. And when I read the story, I remembered the line that I had never really forgotten. All of us are terminal, he said. Life is short. And for some, like the Reverend Bill Bailey, it is much shorter than we want it to be. Remember the past. Anticipate the future. Be sure you utilize the present. Someone once said that yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. but today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me, I want to serve God. Let's pray. Be with us now, O Lord, as we gather around this table to remember, to anticipate, and hopefully to be motivated to serve. In the name of the one who gave his all, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.